Hello, folks. How are you going? Yes, it's me. I'm back again. Of course, it's me. Who else is it going to be? It's my podcast. It's my account. I've logged in to the provider, which is Anchor. And Anchor's a fantastic way to get a podcast out there. And their tools are really good for recording and all that sort of stuff as well. So I strongly recommend it. If you've got something to say, or even if you don't have anything to say, I'd do a podcast anyway. I'm proving that to be possible. Either way you look at it. That's confusing. So this is my podcast, Adam Jacobs. It's called Daughter Talks. And it's a chance for me to prepare myself for the conversations I will be having with my darling little daughter. She's only 8 weeks old at the moment. 8 weeks. Her name is Aoife Daisy Jacobs. Oh, she's so beautiful and I love her so much. I do, it's true. But of course, you know, later in life, she is going to have some big questions to ask of her dad and she goes on her way to try and understand the world. And I won't be giving advice about how to change a light bulb or, you know, what does it mean when the Uber tracking breaks down? What do? No. But any child of mine will understand all those things. I'm preparing myself for the big questions. The questions that are, well, we don't think to answer because often people don't think to ask. And because it's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy to know what question to ask. And the podcast I did yesterday was the perfect example of that. And this is sort of part two of that podcast because I was telling a few people about it and they were like, hey, what? What? Hey, what? So I was thinking that maybe if I slowed down a little bit my understanding of what I said yesterday, and it might help people connect better with the philosophies and the principles and the understandings and the theories and the, you know, all that. I was saying yesterday that little baby Aoife, one day she'll grow up and she might say to me, she might say, Dad, why do people love to hate? Oh, sweetheart, I'll say. Sweetheart, take a seat, let me tell you. So this is where it started yesterday. Now, I'm just going to restate some things and hopefully make it clear. So, people do love to hate. A lot of times, people do it on social media. They react to something that appears to be an injustice, and which they may not be at the centre of. So they end up becoming sort of a third party representative of some perceived injustice, and they latch onto it with all the strength their hate is able to create. So why? Why devote so much energy? Some people devote a lot of energy to this sort of thing. Well, it's got lots to do with the satisfying of our instincts, which is the point I was making yesterday. All of us have ancient programming that you can't get rid of. It's embedded in our brains from when we were running away from tigers and lions and whatever else. Giant snakes could happen. Giant snakes can be aggressive, potentially. So, from back way back then, we are gifted with these instincts. And you think about our fight or flight response when danger appears. We sometimes react very quickly. Our intuition, our nerves override our intuition or our even our sense of the rational and the logical sometimes. And we either run or we stay and we fight. Well, there's a very complicated process at play there that allows for that degree of sensitivity to take place. And driving a lot of that impulse stuff and reaction stuff is some ancient brain programming. But it's not as simple as knowing that your hand is on the hot plate and taking it away quickly. It's more complicated than that. Because we are social beings, that's why we've invented this thing called self. Self is the tool that we use to make ourselves socially enabled. Otherwise, it'd just be snails. Just getting around. If we run into each other every now and then, and be like, alright, okay, well, that's fine. So, we are social beings, which means that we are sensitive to the clan, the sense of the clan, sense of the tribe is probably a better way to put it. Tribe. And we are also very sensitive to any displays of weakness in ourselves and in others. So any perceived display of weakness, we want to reject. We want to challenge it. Now, that includes injustice. If we think that someone is being tyrannical, then that's a kind of weakness that we want to get rid of, because we know that absolute power is absolutely corrupting and we can't tolerate anything that corrupts. That's why people who embezzle money and who are corrupt try to do their best to hide it, because the mob will not react well. So if you accept that, then you say to yourself, all right, so I have an intuitive, instinctive response. That will mean I reject weaknesses, or I react powerfully to them at least. That's why when we get on stage to do some public speaking, we're terrified. It's because we instinctively fear displaying weakness in front of the group. It's instincts. That's why some people can't even talk in front of people. Now, the thing about all this fear reaction and this anger that we conjure as a consequence of, you know, rejecting things, it's very exciting. It's very endochromatic. That's the word. But what it means is that your hormones are engaged. It's the same, any anger response, any happy response, involves a lot of chemicals in your brain, neurochemicals, called hormones. Hormones make messages between different parts of the brain happen. Sometimes they can make them happen really, really fast or really powerfully. It's interesting. So, hormones are like super duper They're like brain accelerants. And we love it. We love the old hormones flowing through the brains. We love it. So then we think to ourselves, right, crikey, golly gosh, that was exciting to be in this moment of conflict. I'd like to do it again. So then we find other ways and means of exciting these ancient parts of our brains. Now, it's something that I suggest we have to do. It's something that we are subtly doing all the time anyway, but for most of us, we have a rational part of our brain as well that we filter all our reactions through and all our expectations in terms of evaluating stress. So that means that some of us can get on stage and we don't get nervous. We don't sweat. We don't shut down because we are able to look at the situation logically and say, well, those people aren't tribal and they're not animalistic. They are essentially like me, and they are on my side. So, you know, however it is that a person may rationalize it. So, these ancient brain reactions that cause us to get excited in the face of negativity, like the rejection of some accepted behavior or some acknowledged behavior or the rejection of some perceived injustice and all that is negative. It's all negative stuff, but it excites parts of our brains. Unfortunately, it excites very old structures in the brain that, this is how I see it anyway, that are hard to override. They're much easier to go with the surge of energy that they give you. And the reason why that is because it's really important when it matters that we do have that surge of energy, because the thing we want to reject might kill us. All right. Sometimes people will find others who are very good at exciting these parts of the brain or generating these reactions. And then we have a sort of on tap, on demand means for generating this kind of excitement, even though it's sort of negative excitement. And these are what people refer to as toxic relationships and all that nonsense, which it is, you know. Toxicity is because they're actually, to each other, they are inducing these hormones, these chemicals, to be, you know, secreted in the brain. So it is a fairly accurate term to say it's a toxic relationship. So what ends up happening is that people end up falling in favour or in very, very, very strong like with the feeling that these people give them. And almost to the point where they will be self-destructive. They will tolerate all kinds of abuse. Now, there's lots of things that we can do to exercise this part, these parts of our brain, or these instinctual responses, or these animalistic survival reactions. So I suggest that you take up, and this is what I'll be saying to my little girl, I suggest you take up kickboxing, sweetheart, or martial arts, something like that, where you've got a whole body experience that directly connects to this sort of exercising of the survival instinct that I feel that humans are inclined to do. We are instinctively led to exercise this reaction. Now, it's very hard when people are in these relationships and they think, well, I understand all that, Adam, but how do I get out of it? Well, the first thing to do is to literally adopt some other means for expressing that and encouraging that feeling in you, like kickboxing or whatever it might be. Like, involve yourself in some passionate thing, and it could be a cause that you have, a legitimate cause. Try not to be all on the Facebook about it, though. The other thing to do is to acknowledge that it's not so much the person. Obviously, it is the person and their personality and all this just sort of combination of things, obviously. But it's not, strictly speaking, the person so much that you're in love with. They're just equipped with the right combination of characteristics that excite in you this sort of reaction, this survival response. And you start realizing that that is more the thing that you are associating with or attached to. And then slowly, slowly, you'll start to evaluate them as a person, and probably fairly quickly, not necessarily easily, but possibly quickly, you will see that, well, actually, as an individual, they're not really the person I want to be with. And also, I have other things in my life now because I'm finding other ways to express that feeling. And I think, too, once you realize that, you are kind of being driven by subconscious mechanisms, then a person generally feels like they want to start getting back into control again. Because it's not nice to be led. You know, no one likes being a sheep, being led off the cliff. So I just thought I'd take a moment to try and unpack all that, what I said yesterday, with a little bit more precision, and try and slow it all down a little bit, just for whomever would like to hear it. All right, I'm Adam Jacobs, and this is Daughter Talks, and I'll see you again.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.